We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ari Wasserman, who covers the Buckeyes, of course, is with us. Ari, what's the latest on Chase Young? And do we know how much money he borrowed? And did he definitely pay it back? What can you tell us right now?
You know, I don't know how much money he borrowed or how much. I think that's the whole process. Ohio State's looking into all this stuff and holding him out because they want to make sure and, you know, be on the right side of this. So I don't know why, but I have this gut feeling that this isn't as big of a deal as people are making it out to be. But, of course, he's one of the best players, if not the best player in college football. And, you know, Ohio State's just hoping they get him back in a few weeks.
All right, how did this even come to light? I mean, did somebody, like, blow the whistle on him? Did somebody turn him in? Like, I don't understand. Like, there probably is no documentation of a loan from, you know, a family friend or whatever. So I'm wondering, like, how they even found out.
You know, I don't know. I don't think anybody knows that right now. They're investigating it, and, you know, Chase is going to have to participate. And, you know, you hope he's saying the whole truth, and Ohio State's going to have to, you know, dig deep and make sure that whatever he did is either a minor violation or not a violation at all. And, you know, really, I'm sure this interview is going to head in this direction, but I feel like this is going to go back and open up that NCAA paying players and name, image, and likeness stuff is going to really pop up again because, you know, under the new rules and under the new world of college football that we've all been hearing about since the beginning of the season, that would all be permissible. So it's going to be more so about welfare of the athlete and whether or not they're permitted to do these things more so than I think it's going to turn out to be about Chase.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, like, in the end, the rules, again, are stupid. It's so ridiculous that but the rules are the rules. So, yeah, it does. Hopefully it's not a big deal because, as you wrote in your article today, Ari, we saw what happened to the defense last year when Bosa went down. Young's been even more dominant than Bosa was last year. I know he's played longer. Do you think they can win a national championship without him?
I think they're going to win the national championship. Oh, I thought they were going to win the national championship this year when I went to bed last night, and now I don't know. If he doesn't play, I would not pick them. They Wow. certainly could still do it. I think they're the best complete team in the country right now, but if you remove the best player in the sport from a team, then you got to act like that has an impact. You can't just say, well, they're just as good. So I personally think that when you think about how many plays a defensive end can make and in the game and how an offense has to alter its entire approach because they can't block somebody, that to me changes the entire aspect of a playoff game against a team that has equal talent. So to me, the number one player on this team that they couldn't lose no matter what was Justin Fields, but closely behind him is Chase Young, and I do think that with or without him, Ohio State's probably going to go to the playoff. I don't know that I would pick them to win the national championship, but they're certainly talented enough to accomplish some big things without him. I would think that they are no longer the odds-on favorite to do so if he is no longer able to play this year.
I guess I just can't wrap my head around it, Adam and Ari, that, you know, a defensive end could have that big of an impact on a team winning a championship. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I know how talented he is. But, like, to me, it's like quarterback, and that's it. I mean, they can totally derail the season, you know?
I can see what you're saying, but think about this. When you're in a playoff game and you're playing against Alabama or LSU, or you're in a situation where, you know, it's a close game and Chase Young makes one strip sack that nobody else on this team wouldn't have been able to do. And that one play in one game can change the outcome. And I know that we've seen blowouts in the playoffs and we've seen teams run away with games, but for the most part, when you start breaking down the top elite of the elite teams and programs in this country, Clemson, Alabama, and right now LSU, you're looking at one possession game. And in one-possession games, if you take off a player that, A, not only can make a game-altering play the way that, you know, Nick Bosa did against TCU last year, and the way Chase Young could do in Penn State games in previous years, I mean, defensive ends, if you can't block them, you have to double-team them. That's one less person that you have to, you know, assist the rest of the offense. You got to design a play book that goes to the other side. And it's just a really big hassle to try to block somebody that you can't. And having a dominant defensive end is the reason why these guys go in the top one or two or three in the NFL draft every year. It's an immeasurably valuable asset. And you know, Chase Young could be the number one pick in the draft. If you take the number one pick of the draft off of a defense, there has to be a step back, and I think Ohio State would have one if he's no longer available.
It's a good point. Ari Wasserman with us. But the good news is that hopefully won't happen. And Ari, in a way, you know, I know he wants to play, but the Ohio State might be better off him missing these next two games, because these next two games are against terrible teams. And is really, it's, you know, beyond, you know, breaking records, maybe setting the all-time sack record in college football, there's really little downside to him not playing, and there is some upside to him not playing these next two games, no?
I think that he shouldn't have played even if he was allowed to. I am personally on the load management side of things. I know that other
nice.
People aren't. I think that players and teams that are stacked and, you know, have guys that are essential to a playoff run should rest, or should play a quarter and you know, come out. I personally anticipated that he would play only a half against Maryland, maybe a quarter against Rutgers anyway. And if this gets cleared up and he misses a game or two and he's able to come back fresh against Penn State, that's certainly going to work out. But I don't think that we're at the point yet where we can say, hey, Chase Young being indefinitely suspended from the team is a positive. It could turn out to be something that works out well for Ohio State, and I don't think he would have played much either way. But, you know, the whole point of this is to try to get your best player back and be in a situation where you can, you know, play the biggest game of the year in what I believe will be a playoff quarterfinal against Penn State if they beat Minnesota this weekend with your best player.
All right, how good is Penn State?
Solid. I don't know if they're great. I think when you start ranking teams in the top four, they should be great. I don't think Penn State is great. I think it's kind of weird that they're only 6-point favorites against Minnesota this weekend. I get that it's cold up there, and, you know, Minnesota plays good defense, and, you know, it's going to be an undefeated Big Ten matchup in November. I get all that, but I can only imagine what Ohio State would be favored by if they went up to Minnesota right now, probably, you know, 17 or 20. So I, you know, I think that that's the only team that's talented enough to compete with Ohio State on the field. But I think they're a full, large step behind Ohio State in terms of how good they are right now.
Ari Wasserman is with us. Ari, is the atmosphere, what is the atmosphere difference like with Ryan Day? I mean, from an outsider's perspective like me, I think he's a breath of fresh air. I had soured on Urban Meyer because of everything that happened last year and all, you know, all that stuff with Zach Smith, and Ryan Day seems like a much more likable guy. I don't know, but what is it like covering him and being around the team? Is there a different atmosphere?
I wouldn't say there's probably a different atmosphere in the team room. I mean, it's definitely different covering that personality in comparison to Urban's personality. I mean, Urban was one of the most famous people in the game. I mean,
right.
People know who Urban Meyer is. So every time Urban Meyer walked into a press conference room and, you know, said anything, it was newsworthy. It was important. People shut up. People listen, you know. And that's part of the reason why I think Urban Meyer was such a great coach, is because when you're in the same room as him, you want to be at your best. There's something about him. I can't really explain it. Everything that he said and everything he did was an event. And Ryan Day is more of a real person, like a person that you can actually talk to and,
yeah,
you know, have discussions with about things, because he's not larger than life yet. And, you know, maybe one day that'll come. But, you know, we knew him before he was the head coach, and he's definitely somebody that you could get on the phone and, you know, have a conversation with. And he seems more like an everyday person than Urban Meyer did. So certainly differences. I think that, you know, Urban and having him as the head coach gave team a certain advantage. I think Ohio State was probably more of a, you know, national topic because of him. But certainly Ryan Day has the pieces and the tools that, you know, let's not forget Urban Meyer built to do something big and get his name out there on the same level in the next 10 years.
All right. How long do you think Ryan Day is the coach at Ohio State? Is it like a situation where he could be there forever if he wants to. I mean, as long as he wins. I mean,
yeah.
Obviously.
It's either less than 5 or more than 15.
I like that answer.
Less than five or more than 15.
I like that
makes sense.
That does make sense.
I think less than five, if things go completely off the rails, which I'd be stunned if they did because of the way that they're recruiting. And if you ever interviewed me, you know that the only thing that matters in college football is accumulating talent. And Ohio State is doing it at the same clip as they were before. But I could see a scenario where Ryan Day wins a national championship even as soon as this year and has Ohio State in the playoff two of the next 3 years. Then all of a sudden, Bill Belichick retires and the Patriots job is open and he's a candidate. You know, and I think right now he thinks that he wouldn't take that job, but if that job came open in 4 years, he might think about it. So I think that if he makes it through the first 5, 6, 7, gets an extension, wins a championship, or keeps Ohio State in the national relevant discussion, and loves it here, I think he could be here for 20 years. I mean, he's only 40 years old. So, you know, I don't know what the exact number is going to be. I don't want to speak for somebody, you know, in terms of what they're going to want in the next 6 years. I know that he said he has roots here. He wants to build a family here. He's tired of moving. He moved like 7 or 10 times the last 10 years. Some crazy number like that. I think he's tired of it. I think he wants to start a new life. Mm-hmm. But, you know, everything in this world is cyclical and it changes. And, you know, in 5 years from now, he might decide, hey, you know what, I love the NFL. I don't like recruiting. I want to go be the head coach of the Patriots. And he might not know that today, so how could I?
All right, another question in relating to Urban. Will he coach next season? Will it be in the NFL? Will it be college, one of the big programs?
You know, I used to think it was no. If you would have asked me that like 4 months ago, I'd have been like, absolutely not. But, you know, the more that this stuff comes out and the more people are speculating about it, it's kind of hard to, you know, say absolutely not. I still would be surprised if he did. I think people always forget that this is in a world where everybody makes fun of him for faking a heart attack at Florida and faking ailments with his health because he, for other reasons besides him not being healthy, it's terrible, but that's the perception for some reason. He actually does have a real serious head injury. He's got a pretty large cyst in his head, and I don't think that he can coach until he gets that under control, you know, and maybe he can have surgery or get that under control and decide to do that as soon as next year. I think it would take the perfect opportunity for that. Maybe the Dallas Cowboys, and, you know, maybe USC is one of those things, but right now I think that, you know, he's enjoying himself and he looks good, he's healthy, he likes being on TV, and I think he would just, you know, I think he'll coach again one day, which is a different thought that I had 6 months ago, but I don't know if it'll be next year.
All right, let's circle back to the Chase Young situation here. In the end, what do you think is the most likely resolution to this?
I think resolution or what's going to happen, you mean?
Yeah.
I think he'll miss 2 games and play at Penn State, well, if I had to guess.
That'd be good. We'll take that. Ari, we appreciate the time. Nice work today.
All right, guys. Take care.
Ari Wasserman, good to chat with him.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.